Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Among the notable voices you heard there was ESPN's Ryan Rucco, who said it's a night the NBA has never seen, and let's just obviously hope, considering what we've learned in the last calendar year, that it's a night the NBA never sees again. But here we are, 1 year later.
What?
Jay doing his Rudy Gobert.
You need multiple the microphones, you know?
Throw a couple tape recorders down on your desk as well, just to make sure the print reporters can get infected as well. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So it was a year ago today that it all happened. The positive test, the running on the court, the Gobert game, as it will forever be known. But a year later, the NBA is back. Still not a ton of fans out there. Still, let's just be honest, doesn't feel the same when you watch a game. But the second half of the season is underway. Two games last night, 11 on the docket tonight, including the Brooklyn Nets. They will take on the Boston Celtics. Celtics have actually won four in a row after they were really getting criticized towards the end of the first half of the season. Listen to this. Regarding, though, the Nets, and Jay has said their championship aspirations, this is Stephen A. Smith on Bart and Han yesterday on ESPN Radio, sizing up expectations. Remember, expectations are always, as they say, relative.
If the New York Knicks make it to the first round of the playoffs, but the Nets don't make it to the finals, the Knicks will actually have had a more successful season than the Brooklyn Nets.
Jay?
He's not wrong.
Not wrong.
He's not wrong. I mean, think about everything that has gone down with the New York Knicks. From Isaiah Thomas, I'll just say names. I won't give you scenarios, but you can look them up. Isaiah Thomas, Charles Oakley, that situation with the owner, Jim Dolan, some of the things that have happened with him.
Larry Brown,
some of the things that have happened with him. Mm-hmm. They went
Phil Jackson,
right? There was even reports around the time.
Derek Fisher.
Falling asleep during workouts, right, for the draft, even though he was being paid $40 million. Even the fact that, you know, after the 2000-2001 season, they had nine consecutive losing seasons. Then they make three playoff runs, and then they follow that up with the worst season in the history books of the Knicks with 65 losses.
Wow.
65 losses. So I don't know what the hell is happening with the whole Kevin Durant hamstring issue. We're still trying to find out more about that because he's out for his 10th consecutive game. That will be an ongoing story that we will pay attention to. But the Knicks do make the playoffs for everything that this franchise has been through. Look, the Nets have made the playoffs 21 out of their 44 seasons, right? This goes to 50%. I don't know what that is for the Knicks over the last 20 years. It's been not good. So, yes, I would agree with Stephen A. that the Knicks, if they do make the playoffs and the Nets do not make it to the NBA Finals, that will be more of a successful season for the Knicks, more so than the Nets.
Well, given everything that the Nets have put into winning a championship.
They're all in right now.
Trading for Harden, right? Obviously, the big dog in Kevin Durant and Kyrie. But now they just signed Blake Griffin. They didn't sign and recruit Blake Griffin to not make the finals or win a championship. He came to Brooklyn with the idea of, this is the best opportunity for me to win my championship. So it would be a successful season for the Knicks if they made the playoffs and not a successful season for the Brooklyn Nets if they didn't go to the championship.
Now, I see the Nets being obviously one of the favorites in the East. We'll see how Milwaukee continues to progress. We'll see what moves they can make by the trade deadline. One of the rumors you're out there hearing floating around for the 76ers is they're trying to find a way to add Will Barton from the Denver Nuggets to their team, depending upon what they have to give up. That could be a dynamic move for them.
But even with other teams in the conference making moves and all
it
that.
It doesn't matter. The Nets are still by far.
The Nets better win, get to the championship for them to have a successful season.
Yes.
No matter what anybody does in the East, it's the Nets in the championship or the season is lost for them.
Let me just throw this out. I think it's a small wrinkle, but with the play-in tournament, it's now easier than ever to make the NBA playoffs, right? You have to be within striking distance, but if you're like the 10th seed, you could somehow weasel your way in to the playoffs if you were to win the play-in tournament. So in some ways,
even if they got in the play-in tournament, because of
I don't
what?
Think the play-in tournament is the playoffs.
No, you could.
Right?
Could
so you're saying win the play-in tournaments to the playoffs.
Right. Yes. So if you finish in ninth or 10th, and somehow
play,
grab the eighth
in.
Seed.
Yes.
So isn't it technically, and I'm not taking anything away from Thibodeau, isn't it technically a little bit easier for
no,
the Knicks to get into the playoffs?
Because that's where the league is at today. We can't worry about where the league was at yesterday. The league says play-in tournament can get you in the playoffs. So even if you backdoor into the playoffs that way, so be it. So be it. They hadn't been in the playoffs, right?
Since 2012-13.
It's been a long time.
How many other teams in the NBA have two MVPs on their team?
You could argue essentially two MVPs and then an M and a V if you don't want to give Kyrie the P. I mean, you could argue that. And you could also argue if you want to add Blake Griffin to the mix, now maybe the P is there on Kyrie. So you got three MVPs with four bodies.
Let me ask you this for the Knicks. This is a topic that a lot of people aren't talking about, Jay. I want to get your thoughts on it here because we've talked a lot about the Knicks. Have you been, you know, it's March Madness week, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up, and this is going to be a guy the Knicks are banking on being a big player coming in the future, but he hasn't actually been very good to this particular point. I want to bang on the kid. I know RJ had a tough first year. He's played well. I think the Knicks have been very disappointed in the play of Obi Toppin. I believe that. And I understand. I don't think they thought Julius Randle was going to be this sort of player. Toppin was a top 10 pick, tons of hype, coming home to New York. Any concerns about Toppin?
Look, you know, I don't like to jump to conclusions on players, especially in their first year. There's an acclimation period. Not everybody's LeBron James, man.
Kobe Bryant shot a few air balls,
you know,
if I can remember.
And Julius Randle's having an all-star-like year. So when you have a guy like Julius Randle that's in front of you, either you learn, okay, how can I be more additive to this equation and learn, get in. Jalen Rose used to always say this to me my rookie year. Young fella, get in where you fit in. Like, you have to figure out how to maneuver around that, especially if you're not deemed to be the guy. And I think Obi Toppin is going through that experience.
You're young. You mentioned coming home. Is there any sort of distractions being at home? You know, you got to look at where things are at right now before it's like, well, he's a little bit of a disappointment. Okay, so was Zion a disappointment last year?
No, I would say no.
But Zion was way more featured than Obi Toppin, though.
But featured. But I'm just saying, we had so much high praise and expectations for Zion, but look at him in year two. So you got to look at LaMelo. He was coming off the bench. And now all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. You just got to let it, you know what I'm saying? Just let it gel a little bit before you start making or coming to a conclusion about what somebody is going to be in 2.5 months.
Zubin, what rookie has really blown you away this year?
LaMelo.
Okay. So I'm not going to say Obi Toppin, you know, it's been disappointing. Tyrese Halliburton has been playing really well. But he's not phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, Anthony Edwards is going through a lot of really tough games in Minnesota. He's had a couple of phenomenal plays and some performances that have been great, but it hasn't been great. So, with the exception of LaMelo, I mean, the case is still going to be out on a lot of these guys. But we said this about this draft. I said, look, man, this draft isn't going to be – you're not going to have a whole bunch of stars in this draft. Now, this upcoming draft, I think, will be different. With people like Cade Cunningham and company, you have some star potential in this draft.
We'll wait to see what happens. I want to ask you this real quick before we move into college basketball, specifically your old conference, the ACC, with Duke maybe getting the auto bid. We'll have one of the great ACC players.
Don't put that out there yet. We have a lot of work to do.
Right, but that's
don't
the easiest
jinx us.
Yeah, but I think that's the easiest way to get there, right? Don't even sweat it out on Sunday. Just get there as the AQ. One thing I haven't heard a lot about yet is the eventual – people said it was going to happen, and maybe it's happening behind closed doors. You know what's going on more than most. Especially with the Nets.
I'm messing with him, man.
So we got James Harden.
This is what it always is between him and I.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. And Steve Nash. And I thought he's handled this really well. But are you waiting or for a team like this that has this much star power and this many expectations, the powder keg, Stephen A's expectations – when that moment of adversity comes, they get down 2-0 in a series, they should be up 2-0, blah, whatever the case may be, where does Nash, how does Nash make this work?
You see what I'm pointing to?
What are you doing?
He got a bench with veteran coaches with experience.
He's still the head guy, though, right?
But it's, I can go to Mike D'Antoni, or I can go to Jacques Vaughn, and I could have, or Stoudemire, we could get together as a staff, Jay, and I could say, how do I handle this? And they could say, well, look, here's what I would do. Here's how we handle it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mike D'Antoni is telling him certain things along the way. Because even though he's the head coach, he's on the job learning as a head coach.
Like Kerr was.
Yeah, like Kerr and anybody else that's never done it before.
Just a different scenario with the personnel on Golden State and the way things were there with those players personality-wise for Steve Kerr than the personnel personality-wise for Steve Nash. Think about what Steve Nash has already dealt with. Kyrie, not nobody knows where Kyrie was at, right? Then you see a video of him at a party. Steve Nash is being asked questions about that every single day.
Right.
The best player in the game, potentially with alongside LeBron James and Kevin Durant, out for his 10th straight game with a hamstring injury. What's going on with that? When will he come back to play? He's dealing with that every single day.
Right.
We get James Harden. Honey Bun James Harden, are you sure this is the right player for your team? How do you mold all these guys together? He's handled a lot in a short period of time already.
Yeah, and not to mention the whole idea that before he coached his first game, Kyrie said, we don't even have a coach. Like, all of those comments came to light. But we'll see how
plus
it all
KD and Corona, right, with contact tracing 100%. And being out with that. I mean,
but I think you make a great point. I think the subtlety of somebody like Clay, who's really quiet, and Steph, who seems very agreeable. You know, Kerr and Dre had his thing.
I knew he was
no
about to say
about
something
that.
About Draymond.
Because Draymond's Draymond.
No, but
right?
I knew Zubin was going to bring Draymond into it.
Kerr,
with the. I just knew it, though.
Kerr did it at the victory parade.
I'm saying, though, I knew
Kerr
you were.
Kerr did it at the victory parade.
Yourself.
Not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. No, he's not wrong. I'm just saying I knew he was going to. He couldn't stop at Curry. He was going to make sure to put the Draymond in here.
Got
to get full context.
It's actually a term of affection because there are many people that think it's just Steph and Clay and they would leave Draymond out of it. I wouldn't leave Draymond out of it. Because he was as important as everybody else, as evidenced by when that game he got kicked out, and look what happened in 2016, right?
He got kicked out because he got kicked out because he kicked in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I could have been worse. Yes. Do you know where he kicked? You know, I could have given you that, but I didn't. I said he just got tossed.
Had to mention kick.
These are just facts. What do you want me to say?
Nothing.
He didn't slightly brush him. That's not what happened.
You know every guy at home.
He didn't move him along slowly.
You know. Stop.
Inside joke. We definitely can't.
You know every guy at home was like, ugh. They grabbed themselves in that moment.
Why do you think my legs are crossed right now on the show? Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, including an M.O.P.
Zubin, did Luke Hancock play with Kevin Ware? Was that the same?
I think so, but I'm not sure. M.O.P., we've been talking about the MVP. He was talking about the MV, which I had not heard before. But in college basketball, they're called the M.O.P., which is the most outstanding player of the Final Four. And Luke Hancock did that for the Louisville Cardinals. He also now works for the ACC Network, and he joins us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, getting ready for another big day of college basketball Selection Sunday,
Luke!
March 14th. Luke,
my man.
Jay is going to ask you about Duke, I'm sure, here in a second, and obviously everything that the Blue Devils need to do to get into the tournament. Okay, so Luke, I want to start here, right? This is the latest Associated Press Top 25 poll. I'm going to keep reeling off schools until I get to an ACC school. You ready? 1, Gonzaga. 2, Baylor. 3, Illinois. 4, Michigan. 5, Iowa. 6, Alabama. 7, Houston. 8, Arkansas. 9, Ohio State. 10, West Virginia. 11, Kansas. 12, Oklahoma State. 13, Texas. 14, Villanova. Here we are! 15, Florida State. I know this conference of Duke and Roy and Kay and Boeheim and your team that you led to a championship. And Virginia, I should also mention Virginia. What has happened to the ACC this year?
I think it has a lot to do with the craziness of college basketball. We're in a pandemic, and a lot of these great blue blood recruiting teams, they just didn't get the same off seasons. They didn't get the continuity. They didn't get those preseason tune-ups where you need guys to start to develop. You know, last night you see a guy like Mark Williams have 23-19 for Jay's Dukies. The guy played unbelievable. He's a guy you would have probably seen early on in the season, but he just didn't have quite enough time to develop. He's gotten better and better throughout the year. I think you're going to see that with a lot of guys. And I'll tell you, you know, you didn't mention Duke and Carolina up there in the top 10s, but with the performances I saw last night, those are some tournament teams, some teams you don't want to see. Think about Duke or Carolina right now in a play-in game or as a 14-15 seed. It would just be ridiculous.
Well, it was crazy too, Luke, because North Carolina absolutely smacked Notre Dame the other day. It was a statement game for them too. How many teams from the ACC do you see actually making the tournament?
I think it's probably going to be 7. Syracuse is right there on that line. Louisville's right there on that line. I think Duke definitely has more work to do. But there are a lot of quality teams. I think you get 6 in for sure. It's probably 7, though. Coach Boeheim's given the committee some things to think about, and they got a big opportunity against Virginia tonight.
Luke, every team, in order to win a chip, has to battle through some adversity. Obviously, your squad, I remember being there watching you guys dealing with Kevin Ware. That situation was incredible, and the way you guys handled that to win. But, you know, you guys had a lot of tight game experience, right? Like, nothing felt bigger than the moment for you guys. Talking about Gonzaga, they're obviously undefeated. And they had some close games in their West Coast Conference. But do you believe that's going to ultimately haunt this team?
Well, that's been the story with them for a long time. That's what everybody says when Gonzaga doesn't make that deep tournament run. It's just that their conference resume didn't have them ready to play. But I think BYU gave them a great test. I've always heard you like to learn those lessons, those tough lessons, with a W. And they had a shot. They took BYU's best shot in that championship game. They were down, I think, 12 at halftime and had to battle. And you saw the cream rise to the top, right? You saw Jalen Suggs say, this is my moment. This is where legends are made in the tournament. And he took over late in that game. And I thought Gonzaga had a statement win, even though it was only by a few points. When you play BYU like that, that environment, they had to battle adversity. I know it's not a big crushing loss right at the right time to get them ready to play in March, but I do think Gonzaga is one of those complete teams with all the pieces to the puzzle that can definitely win a national championship.
All right, Luke, I need you to update us on some things because obviously Selection Sunday is on Sunday. There's been a whole lot that's been going on this past year. People have not been up on college basketball like you. So why don't you give me five teams that you think have the best shot to win it.
Five. That's a lot. All right, Gonzaga for sure. We're going to put them on the list. I don't think anybody's denying the greatness of Mark Few's team. Baylor's got really good guard play. They're tough. They had the little stumble with Iowa State when they came out of the long pause, but this is a veteran group, really well coached, play tough as nails. I'll go with Iowa. Mm. I think Luka Garza is different. He is a total mismatch problem. If you don't have the bodies to battle with him, Iowa's going to be a really tough team to stop. And when you have a guy that can pass and shoot like that, you space him out with all the shooters all around. I would have loved to have played with a guy like Luka Garza. I got to represent for the ACC. I think Leonard Hamilton's one of the best coaches in the country. What he's done at Florida State, absolutely incredible. Another sixth man of the year that's probably going to be a lottery pick, and I think that's three in a row for them with Patrick Williams and Gabanielli doing great things. I'll put Florida State in there because of their depth, their athleticism. They're always one of the biggest teams in the country, and this year they can really shoot the rock with MJ Walker. And what we got five is I'll go Illinois. I really like Ayo. I know he's got to come back from the face mask. I heard all the rumblings that he's been wearing it 24/7, sleeping in the thing just to get used to it. But they're as complete as it gets. And they have a huge front court with Kofi and Georgie, so they can battle with anybody.
You know, every year we're going to have some gripes. Get ready for Jay Billis to go on Selection Sunday. I hate when NCAA does this. Is there anything that you foresee that you're going to have an issue with as it relates to this year's field or how things are going to play out?
Yeah, I'm just anxious to see all the concessions they have to give teams for situations. Mm. You know, you think about a team like Georgia Tech, who I think is in the tournament, but Josh Pastner came out and said, we're not even going to practice. We're just going to try and make it work, doing shoot-arounds and walkthroughs, keep our guys as isolated as possible. And they lose their first games to Mercer and Georgia State, teams they probably shouldn't lose to in all reality. So I'm anxious to see how they'll give concessions. You know, I talked about Syracuse, who's right on the bubble line. They're 12-1 at home in the ACC. Mm. And they're on the line to maybe get into the NCAA tournament. They've had to deal with all kinds of stuff, including teams getting all the way to Syracuse, New York, getting ready to play the game, and then having to turn around and get back on the plane. So their quad one opportunities just haven't been there. I'm anxious to see how the tourney committee puts these teams in or what kind of concessions they give.
It's going to be unbelievable. I know you'll be all over it. We're going to have coverage on the ACC Network even during the 3 weeks of the tournament, just sizing up how all the teams are doing, how all the ACC teams fare. Think about it, guys. 68 teams, 67 games, one city. Unbelievable. It's an NCAA tournament unlike any other, but at least, unlike last year, we get an NCAA tournament. A guy that cut down the nets at the tournament, the best of them all, for the Cards, in the Cards, with us this morning. Luke, thank you very much.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, guys, very much. We'll do it again.
Absolutely, we will. One of the best. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance on the College Basketball Tip. We're in the home stretch. Tune in today for the ACC Tournament quarterfinals from Greensboro, North Carolina. Something all the non-North Carolina teams have always been griping about, Jay. Why is this thing in Greensboro? Don't Duke, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Wake back in the day have all the advantages?
We didn't dislike it.
That's for sure. Easy for those four fan bases to drive. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We all live in the world of Twitter, except for Key and I. Most of us, though, live in the world of Twitter. And it was exactly 1 year ago where one tweet set it all off and changed sports forever. And we're still not all the way back. The man that hit send on the way after, Jay has this.
When you own a business, you're the owner of everything. Trust me, I know this. Sales, finance, customer service. Fortunately, Indeed is uniquely qualified to help you really own hiring. Right when you sponsor a job post, Indeed's Instant Match searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately. That's what you need. Then you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Why is he screaming?
The NBA has suspended the season.
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus.
A night the NBA and sports in this country has never seen.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Straightaway three. No. Williams leaps over. Trainer has the rebound. Two bounces to the rim and then goes up and pulls the rack toward the floor. Flush it for two more. 23 points, 18 rebounds for Mark Williams. 63-51 Duke.
That was Sean Kelly on ESPN Radio. I'm going to be honest with you, Jay. I know you're Duke through and through. You think Mark Williams had the game of his life? Did you see that one coming?
I did not, but I'm not sure we're going to have enough in the tank to beat Florida State. I hope we do. But Florida State is real.
Tonight, 6:30 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. And Leonard Hamilton has just done a fabulous job. Guy's in his 70s, and he's playing incredibly. He's coaching an incredibly great team. Syracuse will play the top seed Virginia. What's that?
I was about to say, you said playing in 70s. I'm like, woo, he good.
He's a pretty good coach, that's for sure. Noon Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. He's the youngest-looking 72-year-old person on the face of the earth, by the way. He is a young-looking dude. Leonard Hamilton has got it going. When will Kevin Durant have it going with the Nets? More imaging on his injured hamstring. Steve Nash says when the imaging comes back, that will dictate when he returns. The Nets will start the second half of the season tonight against the Celtics on TNT. There are 11 games on the docket. We had two to bring back the NBA second half last night. Black History always. Today we honor Willie O'Ree, who debuted for the Boston Bruins 63 years ago as the NHL's first black player. He was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame under what they call the Builder category back 3 years ago, an honor that was viewed as long overdue. That essentially, like in the NFL, Key, they call it the contributors, right, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. People that really aided the game, but obviously he played, broke barriers, and is honored today as a part of black history. Always, SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Today, the NBA will hold a conference call to discuss the possibility of moving games or playing them without fans.
This is a really serious problem. We would recommend that there not be large crowds.
I think we saw our last college basketball games played tonight.
It's a terrible situation. Scary.
The Thunder's head medical doctor came sprinting out onto the court.
Due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed.
This astounding and unprecedented story continues to evolve.
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus.
The NBA is suspending the season.
This is crazy. This can't be true.
What I felt before the game was this touch of anxiety. What I felt in the aftermath of that game was the beginning of fear.
To our audience, stay safe, yes. Take care of each other. We get through this together.
One year since, and we're going to bring in the NBA's best insider here in a second. He helped break the story and sort of navigating us through what we've gone through over the last year, not to mention just the fraught moments that were taking place 1 year ago today. And as we bring in Woj, you know, just listening to all of those voices, whether they were Ryan Rucco, Doris Burke, Dr. Fauci, Scott Van Pelt, you know, sports is all about being macho and being brave, but you could hear the temerity in the voices. You could hear the frightening nature from the nation's top doctor, from people that are paid to be alphas, broadcasters. You could hear it from everyone, and it obviously bore fruit. Here we are a year later. A year ago, 9:31 p.m. Eastern time, Woj tweets, the NBA season has been suspended. Here we are a year later. We're back, second half underway. Woj, just kind of take us back to that particular night, 9:31 p.m. Eastern, when you tweeted that. You know people love the NBA. You live it. Take us inside those fraught moments, what was happening at that as what Scott called an unprecedented time in NBA history.
Yeah, I mean, things had really started to move quickly. Earlier that day, I had been reporting on the NBA owners. They had had a call with Adam Silver, and they were talking about, you know, moving toward no fans in arenas. There were still a few teams, you know, that wanted to wait for their local governments to tell them to get fans out, that they weren't necessarily going to voluntarily do it. The league was going to talk about that again that next day, and all of a sudden Gobert tests positive, and really within 30 minutes or so of that, Adam Silver, Michelle Roberts of the Players Association talk, and Adam Silver suspends the season. And initially the thought was, you know, it might be 2 weeks, maybe a month, and the next thing you know, the league is dark for several months.
Woj, you've broken a lot of major stories in your career. Why was this one so different?
Well, I think more than an NBA story that night, it was a story for this country. It was a tipping point as a nation that this virus had landed here. And, of course, it had already been here. There had already been people sick. There were already people dying from it. But I think is not just the impact it had in sports. You know, the NCAA tournament the next day gets canceled. But I think it just beyond the borders of sports in this country, that decision that night, I think, expedited how the country was going to have to start dealing with COVID. And so I think it transcended sport. There's not a lot of days where any sport we cover, you know, truly transcends the game. And it did that night.
Commissioner Adam Silver admitted at the time that he thought that it would be, you know, postponed for 30 days or so. What did you think at that particular time?
I thought the same. I mean, that was the conversation even before the Gobert test that night. You know, I had teams saying to me, you know, in the week leading up to that, the 10 days, maybe 2 weeks to 10 days leading up, saying to me, we're going to lose games because of this virus. There were several teams saying that to me. It's inevitable. The season is going to pause at some point. But I don't think anybody knew it would be for the length it was. And listen, part of that was how ill-prepared and how really unwilling the federal government at the very top, was of dealing with this. And, you know, Anthony Fauci and medical officials were warning everybody about this. But there were others who weren't going to take it seriously. And so, and weren't really going to frame it to people about what was needed to be done to get it under control. So it just roared out of control. Obviously, we know that. It still does to some extent a year later. But I think there was a sense initially, like Adam Silver thought, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks. But that was just the beginning of it.
Well, did everything change since then on our NBA Countdown show? We're used to being on the court, talking to guys before games, talking to general managers, owners of teams. How has your job changed over the past year?
Yeah, I miss that part of it, Jay. I miss I haven't gone to a game yet this season. For me, being able to walk around and talk to the people around the sport, you said the general managers, coaches, players, agents who are all gathered, you can't do that now at an arena. And so there's not great value for me to go sit in the upper reaches to just watch a game. And so I look forward to the time when we can do that again. I remember the last game we were at Staples Center before I went to the bubble. At Staples Center in L.A., it was a Clipper-Laker game on a Sunday. You know, we did our countdown show from L.A. that day, and I remember standing on the court with Rob Pelinka and talking about that and wondering if things were about to change in some level. Were we going to continue to be in these arenas with all these people? And I think back at how crazy it was to be in a sold-out arena in L.A. Just days before the Gobert test. And then all of a sudden, it all went quiet. And yeah, I look forward to the day when you can be back among those people. You can travel. But in the meantime, it's, you know, like the rest of us, we're on the phone a lot more than we are connecting in person.
I remember being so jealous because my wife did not want me to go because she thought something was about to happen. So I chose not to go to that game. You guys were on the court calling that Lakers-Clippers game, and it was just a crazy time. Do you think there's a chance towards the second half of the season, Woj, to get back to some sort of having fans back in the stands more and what the environment used to be like towards the tail end?
Yeah, I think there will be more fans in arenas as we get closer to the playoffs. I think about two-thirds of the teams have fans now. I think you'll see those numbers increase across the board. I don't know, though, this season that it's going to change just for us and how we do our jobs. I don't know that you're going to see that direct face-to-face interaction on the court. A lot's going to depend on vaccinations and how that goes and the level of participation there is among players to start with vaccinations. But I think by next season, on the start of 21-22, I do think you're going to see things get more back to normal, barring some unforeseen circumstance.
Indeed. We should mention that for even more on this, because this is a day that, like I said at the beginning of the show, if I asked you what you did any year on Christmas or Thanksgiving or your birthday, you might remember. But March 11th seems like a random date. Unless it was March 11th, 2020, then everybody always remembers. Woj is going to be a part of Scott's podcast this week.
Before we let you get out of here, Woj, let me ask you this one, though. Where did the decision on March 11th rank in terms of Commissioner Adam Silver's legacy when he retires? We got the China incident, obviously. We got COVID, and I'm missing one. Oh, and then Donald Sterling. Where was this? What did that decision make? A rank, better yet.
Well, I think looking back, it was the most important decision. There were people at that point, you know, who thought that fans should have been out of arenas earlier than that. And looking back, they should have been. But the country was moving slow toward it. And that decision by Silver that night, I think, did prompt a lot of institutions in this country to reconsider how they were viewing their own reactions to the virus. And so it was as impactful, probably as impactful as any decision he'll make as commissioner of the NBA, just given where we were as a country.
Woj, I have to say this to you. Sunday, 1 p.m., big game for your Bonnies. Going against VCU, automatic bid. Do you guys get it done? Do the Bonnies get it done?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get right on the bus from Dayton and go to Indy. We're going to be like an eighth seed in this tournament. The Bonnies are going to be a big problem for everyone, Jay. I can't wait.
Awesome. Hey, it's always about objective journalism in the NBA, but when it comes to college hoops, as they always say, your alma mater, that's where you're always going to be, no matter where you live,
no matter where you move,
right?
Exactly.
No question about it. Great stuff. I just want to mention Woj is going to be a part of the SVP pod this week. Scott takes a look back at March 11, 2020. Scott was on the air, and I'm sure many of you were watching when that news came down. He sort of navigated us through all of that. So Woj is going to be a part of that this week, and they'll put their heads together to talk about a day that will live forever in the 75-year history of the NBA. Woj, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother.
That was fun.
Thank you. One more podcast note. Today on the ESPN Daily, March 11th, 2020, spotlighted again. Obviously, Rudy Gobert, as we call him, public patient zero. Lisa Salters shares what Gobert's night was like as the world went on pause. There was actually a great E60 about this on ESPN I saw on Sunday morning. So this is the audio version. So follow it on the ESPN Daily and download it wherever you get your podcasts. It's the return of Take It or Shake It with a LeBron twist at the end you're going to love. After he has this from Cintas.
Today, people expect a new level of clean. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniform. Cintas also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Cintas helps you open up your doors with confidence every single day. Learn how Cintas can help you keep your businesses clean and safe at Cintas.com. Cintas, and get ready for your workday.
This Morning with Greeny, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. On the one-year anniversary of the day, sports stopped.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed.
Adam Silver with Greeny, this morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The vaunted return of Take It or Shake
It. It's back.
It is back. We'll see if it's better than ever. We'll see. This is a truncated version. Take It or Shake It
truncated.
Brought to you by Granger. Here we go, right? Teddy Bridgewater will be the Panthers starting quarterback this fall. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Of course, he'll be the starting quarterback. Where else is he going? And they're not going to land Deshaun Watson, even though people think that that is the way to go. They would be foolish to move up to take one of these young quarterbacks. Go ahead, run it with Teddy. Give him an opportunity in his second year, especially with McCaffrey healthy and in the backfield.
That was exactly my point, Key. Let him ride out with Christian McCaffrey for a year. Look, if you still want to be on the phone with the Houston Texans to see if it's feasible, okay, you can listen. Doesn't mean you have to make the move, though.
Indeed, and they had the 8th overall pick, so they might not even have to trade up to get a quarterback in the draft if they don't want to. I'm glad you're finally acknowledging my guy, Christian McCaffrey. Okay, LaMelo Ball will win Rookie of the Year in a unanimous fashion this season in the NBA. Take it or shake it.
Take it!
Take it!
Take it! Right, Jay? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would take
it. I mean, I had him out the gate, though, just because I saw him grow up in Los Angeles, and you know, here's a guy who was your size at once upon a time, Zubin, and he passed me all of a sudden in the last 2 years. He's 6'7" and a half, and he could do everything. He could shoot, he could pass the ball, he could defend, he's long. I mean, it's a totally different situation. And I know a lot of people look at him because his dad was so polarizing, and last name, they think he's not as good as advertised.
And look, the Hornets are actually in a position to make the playoffs, right? That's what LaMelo Ball is able to do now finally as a starter. Kings, not so much.
Yeah, no, this is what I would tell you. I think the funny thing is if he doesn't win it unanimously, the odd thing will be the guy that gets votes will be drafted after LaMelo. Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman are not going to get votes. It's going to be the guys below Ball that might actually end up preventing unanimous. That's interesting. The one or the two probably isn't going to be able to do it. Speaking of one, he was once a number one overall draft pick as well. And all we're asking here is for one. We know how many titles LeBron has as a player, Cleveland, Los Angeles, Miami. LeBron James will win more titles in his post-playing career, i.e. ownership, somewhere down the line.
Take it!
A pensive ticket.
I take it because we're not talking about career, people. We're talking about ownership and identifying first a city where he could attract players. So a city where he could attract players, unlike Michael Jordan, in Charlotte, Jay.
Can
Will.
You feel that? Can you feel fake, so
fake hard. News, yes. Jay over here trying to sell. Yes. You see that, Evan? Jay over yes, here trying King. To sell yes, fake yes, news yes, as if yes. I'm agreeing with him.
You
knowing I'm not
with
agreeing
me.
With you, I yes. said a city. Las Vegas, Seattle, San Diego, buying a team like the Knicks or buying the Nets or somebody or the Sixers, where people actually want to go to play and not be buried in places like Charlotte, where you can't attract free agents. You can't attract free agents to Cleveland, but you can attract them to L.A. or Golden State or Vegas. That's what I'm saying, and I went long here because I don't want you trying to make it seem like I agree with you. When Dave Kaplan on 1000 Chicago,
he's a Chicago guy. Of course, he's going to say that.
Okay, Jay.
All you got to do is win one.
You
Zubin.
Just made the music stop. Literally. Oh, sorry.
All you got to do is win one. I have a couple for you, Key. Uh-huh. Listen. All right. So with the Wizards drafted Kwame Brown, passed
Kwame
up on
Brown.
Paul Gasol.
What was it?
Jason.
Stop,
Richardson. Okay. Oh wait. Let me go. All right.
Stop.
Okay. What? Oh. All right. With this team now, currently Charlotte drafted Adam Morrison. Pass up on Brandon Roy, Kyle Lowry. Oh, I have more. Do you want me to keep going?
Jordan misses, right? These
yeah,
are Jordan,
Jordan misses. Okay. Drafted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Passed up on Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Andre Drummond. Okay, fine. Drafted Cody Zeller, Indiana. Passed up on CJ McCollum. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nobody saw that one coming.
No, but yeah, stop, though. Jay, you putting on it too thick. I'm going to end it with this.
You disagree with me.
Wait,
but now you're arguing with me.
I ain't agree with you. I don't even try. I'll make them run back when Kaplan was on the show from the time he got on to the time he was over, and we'll see who agreed with who.
I'm just saying, Kaplan's going to say that. He's a Chicago guy.
It has nothing to do with
They're
Chicago. He's smart enough to realize that you tried to make the argument LeBron won all these all-star teams and picked all these players. Nope. You tried to make that argument early in the show. Did you not, Jay?
Why'd you take it then?
No. I'm going to say one thing, and then we're going to move on. Michael Jordan created the Dream Team.
I hear you. So let me ask you a question. Alone. The question was LeBron James.
Anybody can pick great stars.
LeBron James will win more titles post-playing career. Take it or shake it. You said, take it.
I said, if. Gets a team in the right city.
Now he's a lawyer.
He ain't winning no post-titles if he is the owner in Charlotte. Because ain't nobody going to want to go play down there.
Yeah, because Jordan already owns Charlotte.
Jordan's going to sell them to him. He's gonna sell the Charlotte team.
Okay.
And then the floor
is already really low.
Oh, man,
for
stop,
Jordan.
Man.
What do you mean?
Stop.
Jordan, he's incredible. And it's not all his picks, but
I'm
who
not
Jordan
saying,
has delegated responsibility to make these picks.
But
it's
Jay,
pretty bad. Key,
Jay,
let's be
you,
about
you
it.
Saying LeBron James is putting all these teams together. LeBron James is putting teams together around his ability. LeBron James has got to find another damn LeBron James as an owner.
I would.
Is there another LeBron James out there? Do you
think
in the next 30 years?
Probably not.
Okay.
What's Luka Doncic?
Man, I'm just.
Who's he?
You
is he
make
just a bump?
You gonna make
what are you guys talking about?
He's Larry Bird. Don't you know that already?
Don't get me started on that.
But, Jay, come on, man.
Come
he's
on,
Larry
man.
Bird.
There are other talented players out there to find, but I just gave you an example.
Stop, Jay.
That's fine.
Stop. I got to leave room for our billboards.
I hear you. Just, you know, take Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely take this.
Take
this
Cody Zeller. Pass on Giannis.
Didn't I just say, stop, Jay, let the man
I'm laying
do
out.
Our
I'm
show?
Done.
Don't
I'm
shake
done.
This billboard. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. If the Seahawks aren't going to trade Russell Wilson.
Lying ass.
Why don't they just come out and say it? Is he saying that about the Seahawks or
have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.